Luke chapter number 23, if you'll direct your attention to verse 39, Luke 23, verse 39. We looked at the first saying 3 weeks ago, actually, because we had a guest speaker. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we took the word forgiveness. And we should not be surprised that the very first thing that the Lord talked about was forgiveness. That's why he was dying, so that to make forgiveness available for each and every one of us. And then we seen the interaction that he had between his mother and the disciple whom he loved. And we put the word family besides this. I'm going to take two words that begin with F, fear and favor, because fear is going to come upon one of these men, one of these malefactors, the Bible calls them, that's hanging beside Jesus. And because of the fear of the Lord and because of his willingness to see himself as a sinner and to see Jesus for who he was, he found favor in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved. And so we're going to be able to look at that. If you'll all stand with me for the reading of the Bible, Luke 23, verse number 39. Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other malefactor, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost, by the way, pay attention to what he says. It's important. Dost not thou fear God? We're going to talk about fear and favor. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, notice the next phrase, and we indeed justly. Hey, you know what? We're hanging here because of crimes we committed. And by the way, we committed them. We're getting our just deserves. But you know what? He goes on to say this. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done, what's the next word? Nothing amiss. Sounds like to me he recognized Jesus as the sinless Son of God. And he said unto Jesus, this is what he says, Lord, amen. He is the Lord Jesus. What a simple prayer, but what a salvation prayer. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In other words, I'm going to watch you die, but I know that there's a kingdom that's way beyond this earth. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today that shalt thou be with me in paradise. Seven sayings of Christ, fear and favor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless preaching of the Bible. Lord, we're going to eavesdrop in. We're going to listen. We're going to hear a very simple prayer. We're going to see the heart from which that prayer came. And we're going to see a salvation of a soul, Lord. I pray if there's someone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, they wouldn't leave that way. I know what it is to walk into a church lost. I know what it is to hear the gospel and feel God's convicting power in my life. And thank God I have the memory of walking an aisle and kneeling at an altar and having someone take the Bible and explain to me how Jesus loved me and died for my sins, how I could be saved. And Lord, I walked in that church that day on my way to hell, but I walked out a born-again Christian, not because of any good in me, but because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. So Lord, speak to hearts this morning. We pray in a powerful way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. 3 weeks ago, we heard Christ speak of forgiveness. This week, we will see him exercise forgiveness. 3 weeks ago, we learned that Christ requested of the Father that forgiveness be made available. Well, this week, we see how to access the always available forgiveness of God. 3 weeks ago, we mentioned how the entire human race is depicted and represented by two thieves who hung beside the Savior. This week we will place these two men, more carefully under the microscope and explain more fully why this is so. You know, the older I get, the more I just love preaching the gospel. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing. It's nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. And the chorus of this beautiful hymn says, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. There's so many things I love about the gospel. Can I just mention an introduction? I love the simplicity of the gospel. Paul warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he was worried that people would overcomplicate the simplicity that's found in Jesus Christ. The Lord allowed him to write these words, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And you say, preacher, what is the gospel? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. The simplicity of the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross. We're going to look at it today. He died on the cross to die for my sins, your sins, and the sins of the whole world. And you know what? Death could not hold him. 3 days later, as he promised, up from the grave he arose. Not only did he shed his blood to pay for our sins, he defeated death so that he could offer to us the gift of eternal life. And by the way, that is for everyone. Yes, the simplicity of the gospel, but how about this? The availability of the gospel. John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Listen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's available. I don't have to wonder if I stop a person whether or not God died for them, whether Christ died for them, whether the gospel's for them, whether God would answer their prayer. Whosoever will may come. John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto him, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In his conversation with Martha, after Lazarus died, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. Whosoever. Folks, there's so many whosoever verses. John chapter 12, Jesus in the midst of a crowd. All of a sudden he cries out. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I'm afraid the devil's getting away with something he shouldn't get away with. Where he comes to some people and said, well, you know what, that's good for them, but that's not for you. Hey, God loves them, but he doesn't love you. Hey, Jesus died for them, folks, but he didn't die for you. Folks, listen, that's a lie of the devil. Have I mentioned lately that the devil's a liar? He's a liar. And you know what? If you've had those thoughts, it wasn't you thinking it. Come on, it was him whispering it. And I want to tell you on the authority of God's holy word that salvation is available to every single person under the sound of my voice. You've never received Christ, you can receive him today. He's not turned away one. Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 22, the Bible ends with these verses, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. God, the Lord, Peter wrote this, is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that if you're here today and you walked in the door of this church and you've never settled this matter of eternity and you've never been saved, salvation is available for you today. Today. I like that, the availability, simplicity. I like the availability. I love the dynamic power of the gospel. I'm just amazed as I preach the gospel, the power that it has. Romans chapter 1, we read this, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Hey, you young men that are called to preach, always be ready to preach the gospel. By the way, you Christians that aren't called to preach, always be ready to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, amen. Paul said this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you know what, folks? The gospel is simple and the gospel is available, but the gospel is also a powerful message. And you know what? I've watched hardened people come in and they didn't even come in to listen, but the gospel starts being preached and the Holy Spirit tenderizes their heart. And you know what? The power of God is displayed. Every time you preach the gospel, I'll tell you this, I can understand this. The power of God's going to go out with that message. It's going to make a difference in somebody's life. There is no greater story. Three crosses stood on a hill shaped like a skull. Three crosses. Jesus is on the middle one. He's the Savior of the world. By the way, he has done nothing amiss. There is no sin in him. Two men hang beside him, one on his right, one on his left. These are the criminals. They have been declared guilty of their crimes and they have been sentenced to death. The Bible calls them several things. In Luke chapter 23, he calls them malefactors. What does that even mean, preacher? Well, it means a wrongdoer, a criminal, an evildoer. Think about this. One of the depraved, injurious, bad, evil, harm, noisome, wicked. In Matthew chapter 27, they're called thieves. That word means robber, thief, to plunder. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, Matthew 27, 38. We see early on both of these men reacted to the Lord Jesus in a negative manner. The Bible says in Matthew 27, likewise also the priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves, plural, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. You say, preacher, why did Jesus promise paradise to this one thief and not the other? Well, let me say, first of all, at the beginning, even the thief that was promised paradise at the beginning didn't really believe in Jesus Christ. He mocked along with the other. Mark 15, 27, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves, Mark chapter 15, with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him, reviled him. You know what, folks? Listen to me. I got good news for you. Salvation is available for people who need to be saved. Hey, salvation is available to people who don't believe. You know, God can change the heart of somebody that used to mock at the idea of God and mock at the idea of a Bible. And you know what? God can change that heart in such a way where all of a sudden God gives them the faith and God gives them, I love that verse that says the light of the glorious gospel shines in. And so, well, preacher, I started to witness to a guy and found out he was an atheist, so I quit. Don't quit. He's the one that needs to hear it. But he keeps telling me that he doesn't believe it. Folks, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Why was paradise promised to this criminal? Well, let me just say this. At first, he did not believe. And I want to say this to everybody in the room. Nobody was born saved. Come on, nobody entered onto this into this planet, you know, having done what was necessary to secure heaven. I just want to tell you this, listen to me, we all started in unbelief. We all started lost. We all started in doubt. But you know what? Aren't you glad for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel? Why was paradise promised to this criminal? Number one, first, he did not believe. Number two, he repented of that unbelief and chose to believe. I want to mention this, and I want to go back into the other sermon, but it's very interesting that the chronological order of the saints on the cross starts out with Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was talking about everyone at the base of the cross, those that had physically done the crucifixion, those that were mocking him, and even the two thieves that at that time reviled against him. Then he has this encounter with his mother. You know what? You never know what's going to take to soften the heart of a lost sinner. And you know what? Even that thief had a mama. And he listens to Jesus so tenderly and carefully taking care of his mother. I think that that one began to fall under Holy Spirit conviction. Maybe he thought of his own mama who had been praying for him. His own mama who had wept buckets of tears because of the life he's chosen to live. His own mother who's now maybe somewhere out there in the crowd watching brokenhearted. And you know what? He has no way to take care of her because of the life he's lived. All I know is this, that from the time it began till we get to this point in the crucifixion, something's changed in that man's heart. And that's what we read here in the Bible. Verse number 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Wait a minute, I thought it was two of them. It was two of them. Now it's down to one of them. Hey, you know what? Watch this. You know what? Sometimes you better be careful what crowd you hang around. I hate to see somebody not get saved because they're worried about what a best friend might think if they got saved. But you know what? This guy quit caring. Okay, yeah, but I was reviling against him with him just a minute ago. Well, you know what? You better listen to God. Because one of them just kept on in their unbelief and kept on in their scornful attitude and kept on, you know, questioning Christ and who he was. But this other one, God began to do a convicting work in his heart. Oh, folks, listen to me. God needs to bring each and every lost person to a point of Holy Spirit conviction where they realize that they are wrong about this. They are wrong about Jesus Christ. They are wrong about a loving God. They're wrong about defending their sin. We begin to see this transformation take place in the heart of this man. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answering rebuked him. Wait a minute. He was rebuking Christ a few minutes ago. Now he's rebuking the one who's rebuking Christ. You know what? I just love it when God changes a person's heart. I mean that. I've watched people that at one point in time in their life claim they didn't even believe in God become some of the greatest and most devout Christians. You know why? Because God can change a heart. I've watched people that for years lived in bitterness against God and would hurl accusations about God. But you know what? At a tender moment in their life, the Holy Spirit moved in and changed their heart about it. And listen to me. I don't know where you're at. It's not my job to know where you're at. But I would just ask you, would you just open your heart to the Lord? Yeah, but I think this, and I think this, and I think this. Can I just share this with you? When you die and stand before God, he's not going to care what your opinion was. Why don't you stop? Come on, put the stinking pride away. Stop talking about what you think and what you believe and open the King James Holy Bible and find out what it says. Because we're going to be judged according to this book, not our individual opinions about this book. You know, the truth is, God loves you. He's trying to work in some hearts this morning. He's trying to whisper into your heart this morning your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't turn away. Hey, God orchestrated some of your lives all the time, since you were born to this moment. He's orchestrated it for this moment so you can be in this servant. So one more time, he could say to you, I love you. I sent my son to prove it. Why don't you be saved? Why don't you be saved? Yeah, why did Jesus promise paradise to a criminal? Well, first he did not believe, but you know what? He changed his mind. Verse 40, but the other saying, answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seest thou art in the same condemnation. Which brings us to the next point. He repented of that unbelief, come on, and chose to believe. Folks, we need to understand what repentance is. You know, like there's a big argument about repentance. What is repentance? Well, study the word out. It means a change of direction or a change of mind. It means all of a sudden you used to be heading this way and you stop and you reconsider your direction. You say, that's the wrong direction. You turn around and choose the right direction. That's as simple as I can put it. That is a part of salvation. It's necessary for salvation. But that's a whole lot different than what people are trying to unfold. I heard one guy say, well, if you don't confess every sin you've ever committed and repent of every sin you've ever committed, you can't be saved. I'm sorry, but I can't, and neither can you even begin to remember or fathom all of the sins we've ever committed. It's not, repentance is not a reaccounting and a repentance of every individual sin. It's a turning away from unbelief to belief, from our walking away from God to our embracing the gift of eternal life and for seeing Jesus Christ for who he is. And this is what this man did. He repented of that unbelief and chose to believe. Why was he promised paradise? Because you know what? God saves sinners. He saves repentant sinners. If he didn't save sinners, we're all in trouble, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. I mean, Jesus saved sinners. He realized and admitted he was a sinner. That's what he says. Keep on reading verse 41. He says this, well, let's back up to verse 40, the last part. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Notice this next phrase, and we indeed justly. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what he did? He embraced the guilt of his sin. He didn't make excuses for it. He didn't say, well, we were framed. He didn't cry about it, whine about it. He said, you know what? Why we're hanging here? Because we deserve to hang here. You know why I was going to hell before I got saved? Because I deserved to go to hell before I was saved. Because that's where sinners deserve to go. Come on, you know what we need to do? We need to stop comparing ourselves among ourselves. Well, I know I'm not perfect. Well, all right, we need to just stop right there. Don't go any further. Okay, just embrace that. But what we want to say is, I know I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm better than this person. I'm better than this person. Isn't it easy to always find someone else that we think is worse than us? Hey, stop comparing yourself among yourself. Compare yourself to the holiness of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of a sudden, folks, listen to me. All of our excuses have to vanish. We're guilty. We're guilty. That's all we can say. He realized it. He admitted it. He owned it. For we receive the due reward for our deeds. Let me bring you to the next one. He also realized who Jesus Christ was. Notice this, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then I pointed out in the reading, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. All of a sudden, he looked at that middle cross and he realized, you know what? This is not a man like any other man. This is the sinless Son of God. This is the Lord. He's not dying for his sins. You know, if Jesus even sinned one time, he would have to die for that sin. But because he was born, lived his life, and hung on that cross, having not committed one sin, he became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And because he'd never sinned, you know what? He could put all the sins of all the world onto himself and pay for our sins. So why was this criminal promised paradise? Well, because he didn't believe, but you know, he repented of that unbelief and chose to believe. Folks, salvation's a choice. It's a choice. He realized and admitted he was a sinner. He knew he could not offer anything to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love teaching salvation out of this portion of Scripture, especially to people that believe in a works-based salvation. Right. Folks, listen to me. What an amazing picture. This man's right hand was nailed to the cross. His left hand was nailed to the cross. His feet were nailed to the cross. Somebody says, well, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Explain this away. Explain this away. Well, you got to go join a church. He didn't get a chance to join a church. You got to go make up for all of your past deeds. No, you don't. Just as I am without one plea, come on. All you can do is come to Jesus Christ, and you know what? All you can do is just come the way you are. He didn't have anything in his hands. But it seems like we have more churches preaching a works-based salvation than we do salvation by grace through faith. And folks, listen to me. Works-based salvation is another gospel which is not another. And it started all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. Listen to me. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. By the way, noble profession. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Time to offer something to the Lord. He brought of the works of his hand, the fruit of the ground, the things that he had planted and harvested, what he had done. But notice what Abel did. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know, folks, two religions were born that day. Everybody, I think it was D.L. Moody that says, you know, there's only two religions in the world. There's the do and there's the done. There's people saying, you have to do this in order to go to heaven. I mean, there's some of the far left-wing charismatics that will tell you if you don't speak in tongues, you can't go to heaven. Well, that's a work. That's a work. Salvation is by grace through faith. Go down to the Catholic Church and they'll tell you a whole list of things you got to be able to do to qualify to go to heaven. Listen, one of the last things that Jesus said, we're going to get to it, is this. When he came out of that 3 hours of darkness, and when all the sins of all the world was placed on him, and he died on that old rugged cross, and he was finished doing it, he declares, it is almost finished. You just have to do a few things. No, he said, it is finished. He did it all. He finished the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you know what? He couldn't bring anything in his hands because his hands was nailed to the cross. He couldn't run down and make things right with somebody. You know, all he could do was just look up as a guilty sinner and just cry out for mercy and cry out for forgiveness. And you know what? God has never turned a deaf ear to that prayer. And he certainly doesn't do that here. Romans 11, verse 5 and 6, even so then, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. For if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Listen, folks, they're like water and oil. They don't mix. It's either going to be total grace or it's going to be total works. It's going to be Cain's religion or it's going to be Abel bringing the blood sacrifice as a token, a picture, a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I want to stop and say this. I see people hindered sometimes because I think they think, well, I know I need to be saved, but preacher, I got to get a bunch of things straightened out first. So I'm going to get this finished in my life, and I need to drop this bad habit. I need to do this. I need to do that. And the devil, again, is whispering lies in your ear. Listen to me. What you're trying to do is live like a saved person before you get saved. You know, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men, folks. Listen to me. Our job's to catch them. It's God's job to clean them. Amen. Don't worry about all of that. You know what? You just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ out of a heart of faith in who Jesus is and what he did. You know what? You call out and cry out to him. And you know what? When you have the Holy Spirit of God enter into you and you become a new creature in Jesus Christ, you're going to be given what you need to overcome those things that you're trying to overcome in the flesh. And you can't. You can't without Christ's help. Just throw yourselves upon the mercies of the Lord. He called out very end. Boy, this is so simple. So what did he do, preacher? Well, couldn't do anything. He's nailed to a cross. So what did he do? He called upon Jesus Christ for salvation. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, boy, it doesn't sound like the sinner's prayer that some of us might lead somebody else in. But you know what? God is not as concerned with the words as he is the condition of the heart. Very simple prayer. A prayer of faith. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what Jesus saw? He saw a man that at the beginning did not believe. but decided that he was going to change his mind. He was going to repent. He was going to turn from his unbelief to belief in Christ. He saw a man that wasn't making excuses about his sin, blaming everybody else, but owned his sin and the punishment that he deserved. He then saw a man that could offer nothing and knew that he could offer nothing, but to look to Christ. Come on, look to Christ. Look to Christ this morning. Just look to Christ. Try to figure it all out. He died for you. He loved you. He was buried. He rose again. He did all of that for you. Look to Christ. And in simple faith, just cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Listen, I'm not as concerned about the words as I am the heart. Do you believe today that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he died on the cross and rose again the third day? Then you believe the gospel. What's left? Just call upon the one that can save you. That's why we read in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? He received Christ's promise that he would be with him in heaven. I love that. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, getting saved is so simple. And yet the devil will come along and he'll try to confuse our thinking. He introduces man-made religions. Come on. Spawned from the pits of hell to keep people consumed with pursuing a religion and never finding a relationship that's available through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet this simple little story breaks it down to the essence of the simplicity of the gospel and just says, hey, are you willing to go through what that man did? I don't care what you used to think. I don't care what you used to believe. Are you willing to change your heart, change your mind about that and say, you know what? I don't care if it makes sense, doesn't make sense. I don't care if nobody else in the Word believes it. If this King James Holy Bible says it, I'm going to believe it. And you know what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means me, you know what? It's time for me to put my faith, my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work for salvation. If you're willing to do that today, you know what? Christ is willing to save you. What a story. What a story. You know what? Come on, Christians. If Jesus, with everything that he was going through while he hung on the cross, still had a heart to try to reach a lost sinner, then let's leave this auditorium and go into our workaday week with the same passion, the same love, looking for somebody that we can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Before I pray, I'm going to ask heads be bowed, eyes be closed. We're not into embarrassing people. We just don't do that here. But I sure am for praying for people. If you're here today and you say, preacher, the honest truth is, as you were preaching, I felt like the Lord was dealing directly with my heart. Something going on inside of me that I can't explain away. Felt like God was dealing specifically with me. Preacher, all I know is this. If I died today, I can't say for sure I'd go to heaven. I can't say that. I don't have that assurance. I look back on the timeline of my life. I search backwards and I can't find a place in a time where I, under Holy Spirit conviction, called out and believed in the gospel and called out upon Christ to save me. I don't find that. Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I fear what might happen. Thank you for being honest if that's where you're at. But let me tell you this. I know what it is to walk into church lost and walk out a new creature in Jesus Christ. And you don't have to understand all of the Bible. I'm just telling you. You'll have a whole lifetime to figure the rest of it out. But you do have to understand the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. You know why? He loved you. He loved you. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you that kept him on that cross. But preacher, you don't know what's in my past. You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. He died for the sins of all mankind, of all of the world. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, Would you say, preacher, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I choose to believe it today. I believe that he died for my sins that day. I believe he was buried and rose again. And I believe that he paid the payment necessary for me to have eternal life. Preacher, I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me a few verses and help me to pray and help me to receive Christ. If you are not saved today, would you say, preacher, I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me today. Would you just slip your hand up? And I won't embarrass you, call your name or anything. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know that before I leave here. I see a hand in the back there. God bless you. Somebody else. The Lord working. The Lord's working. How about that? Anybody else? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us when we were so unlovely. We can point fingers at those two thieves that were on either side, and we can try to compare ourselves among ourselves. But the honest truth is, every single one of us stand guilty before you as sinners. Not a one of us can stand up and truthfully say, I've never sinned. There's no sin in me. I've never done wrong. I've never thought wrong. I've never acted wrong. I've never spoke wrong. Lord, I pray, dear God, that with the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord, the one that raised their hand, I pray, Lord, that as we begin to have the piano play in just a moment, they'll step from their seat to the nearest aisle, come forward. We've got people up here waiting that can take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Somebody didn't raise their hand. But Lord, you're working on their heart. I pray that you'd help them. Help them, dear God, find their way to you this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.